Amen. You guys have a seat. Thank you so much for being here. Again, these cards that we have out, we've got one table with three stacks of them over by the door in here. If you're looking to make a quick getaway after church, or if you cruise down the lobby, we've got a table on each side of the door, so make sure that you get one of those. It is Mother's Day. If right now, you know, you're a husband or you're a kid or you're a whoever and you're like, man, I just missed it on this Mother's Day. Well, we're in company together. Yesterday I had one major task to do when I left the house. I was supposed to go to the grocery store and get stuff according to a list, and I just blew it. I didn't get like nearly enough. I don't know ounces and cups and all that stuff. And if you're a husband and you just go to the grocery store sometimes and almost just weep in the aisle and you look for somebody to support you, find me there. Let me know where you shop, and we'll just meet there next time and do that. And really and truly, we can't do enough for our moms. We can't do enough for the women in our lives, their mothers. And some of the, you know, the thing about being a mom, it's really just, it's a heart thing. Some of the greatest moms that I've seen, and I've seen their testimony, they've been women who, for whatever reason, they didn't have kids. You know, it's a heart thing that we see from moms, and that's what we really want to celebrate today. One of the coolest things you could do on Mother's Day, if there's been a special woman in your life that has just poured into you and just given grace to you and truth to you in a way that it just mixes together and it just has blessed you, reach out to her today. Maybe that's not your mom. Maybe that's somebody else. Maybe not even in your family. Just somebody that you can reach out to just to let them know the difference that God used them to make in your life. It would be encouraging. It was funny. This week I thought, you know, okay, as I'm searching through stuff and looking at different things that are Mother's Day oriented and things like that, there's not a lot of great verses in the Bible when it comes to mothers for Mother's Day. If you really go and search for what you're going to write in a card, or you go to Hallmark, you go to Lifeway, and you pick up a card, you know, sometimes they're really good about kind of putting like the half verse in there. So like they pick out the half that kind of fit the occasion. And I read some verses this week just as I was looking online to see, you know, what was kind of out there, what people were putting out there for Mother's Day. I ran across one verse that actually came up in a Google search for Mother's Day, and I thought this is probably honestly not what we should write in our card. Honestly, I mean, I Googled Mother's Day verses, Proverbs 21:9. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house with a quarrelsome woman. Don't write that in a card for Mother's Day. Isn't that horrible, right? You know, the Proverbs 31, if you've ever read Proverbs 31, it's this passage that's just beautiful about, you know, this virtuous woman. But there's one verse that, like, if you really stop halfway in the way that they write cards, that, you know, when they put half verses in Christian cards, Proverbs 31:10 is kind of one of the verses that kind of really kicks off this passage of a virtuous woman. But if you stop halfway through, you miss the second half, which says, "For her worth is far above jewels." The first half just says, "An excellent wife, who can find one?" Like, you don't want to write that, right? That's not what you want to write in there. And there's a lot of verses that say something about gossip. Just skip those. Just write, "I love you." It's the best thing that you can do. Just stay simple with that. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5 this morning. And I guess if I had to put a title to this sermon, it would be a miracle within a miracle. Or I guess you could probably even say kind of a stolen miracle. In Mark chapter 5, what's going on? Jesus has had a guy named Jairus come to him whose daughter was sick and she was dying. Now, and Jesus responded to that by agreeing to go to their house where she was. Because as this guy came, he was a synagogue leader, he was a religious guy, he had no doubt heard some of the things that Jesus had talked about. No doubt he had seen miracles maybe firsthand. So he was on his way. He was going to Jesus because he fully believed that Jesus could do something about his daughter's illness. So Jesus responds. What we're actually going to look at in this passage is what happens on the way there. A miracle kind of got almost stolen from Jesus. Now we know that Jesus is God's son, and Jesus, even in his ministry, you know, he was both God and man, and it's kind of that moment where we see in glimpses of how Jesus can do everything because of God's Spirit is working through him and in him in a perfect, sinless way. But also as he actually, you know, asked some questions and looked for some things. This is a really interesting passage. Is where we want to land in this morning. So as we're in here, I'm going to start reading now in Mark chapter 5. And again, this is Jesus and his disciples and really a whole big crowd on the way. Because if you think about it, you know, they've seen miracles from Jesus. They've seen what he can do. And the word is, the buzz is, he's on his way, and there's a sick and dying girl on the other end of this. So almost there's this excitement and there's this kind of anticipation of what is he going to do? What can he do? This might have upped the ante for their belief a little bit. Almost kind of like let's see really what this guy can do. Mark chapter 5, it starts out verse 24. It says, a large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because, she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? Verse 32 says, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet. Trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now, what we're going to do is the way we go through this passage today, there's really three questions that I just really felt like God just kind of just jumped out of this passage at me when I was studying this and as I've been looking through this. And we're going to look at those three questions, but we're also going to just, in honor of moms today, and if you're a mom, we're going to have three, I guess, mom statements to just kind of throw out there at you as we go through each of these three questions, just hopefully to kind of speak to you, because I think as when you really talk to one single mom, I don't know that there's any one person that you can talk to who probably at certain times is more insecure and feels like she doesn't have it together and everybody else around her does have it together, only for nobody to have it together. But I think just that heart of a mom always wants to do more. Maybe she hasn't feel like she's done enough. But it's a heart that God works through and does so much through, when sometimes it's just not even that she, most moms never give themselves credit for just even an ounce of what God's used them to be a part of and to do. As we're in this, this lady that's in this passage, 12 years and nothing to show for it. Now, not to kind of, I'm not a doctor, but just kind of to make sure that we're kind of all on the same page here. What has this woman been going through? Basically, this woman for 12 straight years, nonstop, has basically been in the middle of her menstrual cycle for 12 years. Amen, ladies? All of a sudden, the passage just got, everybody just like, well, whoa, this woman needs to be healed right now, right? Like, I don't know. I'd be honest with you, all I know to do is to say that statement. I got no background on that one. Got no idea, but all I know is anytime this has been read and that is just clarified, there's women that just start crying and just going, you better preach it right now. If you don't preach it, I will, and I'll cut you. I mean, that's whatever it is. But here's the thing, you know, this is the reality of this woman's life. 12 years. She's been dealing with this. Not even just 12 years, but it says here, she spent everything she's had. She has leveraged every resource that she's got to get somebody to help her, to some doctor to have an answer, to get a prescription, to get some kind of something that would be there. No doubt she probably followed every piece of physical advice, religious advice, anything that she could say. I'm sure that tons of people would say to her, you know, you need to change this, you need to do this, this is punishment, God's doing this to you. Because a lot of times people just that you go to that you think, man, just, you know, help me, give me some encouragement. Sometimes they just give you the worst piece of advice ever, the worst opinions ever. 12 years, and she is, in fact, she's not the same. She's worse. She's worse. She was, in this culture, and you have to understand this as well too, during this period of time for a woman, she was considered ceremonially unclean. There were things that she couldn't do and worship in different things during this time because of how culture viewed it. So not only was she dealing with this as a personal thing, but this is something that for her was an embarrassment as much as it was a hurt. As much as it was a health issue, it was a discouragement. 12 years I'm going to get to that in just a minute. She was broke. She had no resources, anything like that. But I want to look at this, and this is going to be the first question that we have on here. Sometimes we envision, and this is kind of a mom thought that kind of was rolling around in my head when I wrote this down. We envision success as being the one that holds it all together. What if success is simply knowing who to hold on to? Right? Because, I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of like, you know, when you look at it and as moms have conversations and kind of look and say, well, you know, she's just got it so much, you know, more together than I do. Look at her kids. Like, they're making good decisions. They're making good grades. Look at what I got, right? You know? Look at her house. Look at ours. And that's kind of this crazy comparison thing. And sometimes in our lives, we look at everybody else, and everybody else seems like they've got it so much together. Yet this woman in this passage, as Jesus was not heading towards her, right? This is just this amazing thing. She just came to this place where her belief and faith that Jesus could do something for her got so real in her life that she said, you know what? I have nothing together, but I truly believe if I can just get close enough to Jesus, then this will change. Then this will change. And honestly, as you grow closer to Christ, will your life just all fall into place? No. No. That is not what we sell here. And if you've bought into, well, just the closer I walk with Christ, just everything gets more perfect. No, it won't. But Jesus will allow you to see what He's doing in your life and have peace, as the Bible says, beyond understanding. And He will help us to make decisions that will be so grounded and so firm underneath us that they're just the right thing, so that when other things have to be done or other people look at our lives, we don't have to worry about what they're seeing. We can just trust that we have followed God to the best of our ability, and He's given us peace because we've made that decision that pleases Him. Sometimes it really just isn't about how much you can hold on your plate and all together. It's way more about who do you know to hold on to. How much God was Jesus? He was so much God that even His clothes got it. She got close enough to Him, and she reached out there and just grabbed hold. Right? Man, thank God for people. Not just moms, but for people who get so convinced of their faith in Jesus Christ and what He can do that they will just say, you know what? No, I'm not going to be deterred. I'm just going to reach out and I'm just going to hold on. And I'm going to take whatever is going on, if it's personal or somebody else. They just get so firm and committed to taking that thing into prayer and going to God for some kind of answer that when we go so firmly and so fast after Jesus and we hold on so tight that we see something happen, right? Don't let go until you see something change. If you don't take anything else from today, if you get close to Jesus Christ in the way that you're living, the way that you're worshiping, the way that you're thinking, and stay there until you see something change. 12 years and she had no answer, but then all of a sudden she had an answer. There's a hymn, and I love that hymn that Dale just led us through worship through, and the praise band did as well. You know, it's funny, since I've been a pastor here, I've had so many of my friends that are in ministry that don't live anywhere near here. They call and they say, hey, you know, how's it going at church? You know, what's your church like? You know, the first question always comes to in church, what kind of worship do y'all do? You know what my answer is? Yes. We do it. And we like it. Right? You know, and that's the thing. So many times, there's been so many times in church, you know, you can talk about, you know, whether it's a hymn, whether it's been written in the past 6 months. We just like to worship Jesus Christ, right? And this is a song that a friend of mine I've known for years and years and years. He always, once a year, I go to a Christmas party at his company, and every year he passes out the lyrics to the song. And at the end of the Christmas party, every year we sing this song. And I just thought the words of it kind of give us insight into the feeling that this woman had when her faith got so firmly set in Jesus. It's a song called "I Know Who Holds Tomorrow." And if you'll just be patient with me, I'm just going to read the lyrics to this song, okay? This is what it says. And if I get really excited, maybe I'll just bust out and sing. No, that's not where God's leading me right now. I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside him. For he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining. There no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered by his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. You know, when are we going to realize as Christians, you know, what this lady did just makes sense? Like, we have got to realize that we are not just going to make it on a Sunday religion. It is going to take prayer and Bible reading and Bible studying and growing as a disciple in Jesus Christ to get to the place to where we realize just our reach to just get near and our purpose to get near and walk close to Jesus Christ itself will bring change in our life. This is the first mom statement that I want to put up on here. And if you're a mom, maybe if this doesn't do anything to you, I'm sorry. If you're not a mom, this still makes sense if you listen to it. The reality is that you may never feel like you can hold everything together, but you can hold on to the one that does. Colossians 1:16-17 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, listen, all things hold together." I figured out at this point in my life, Jesus can do a lot more with my life than I can. Because I'm a decently educated screw-up on my good days. But Jesus can do so much more. The second thing I want to look at is this. Why did he call her daughter? Jesus wasn't married. He didn't have kids. Was this just kind of an overall religious kind of, she's a Jew, so he called her daughter because they were very much into this line of Abraham? No, here's the deal. It says in this passage, it talks about how fearful she was when Jesus turned around. Because think about it. Everybody was on this one track. We're going to see this miracle. We're going to see this little girl who's dying, and everybody's just pressed up against Jesus. And all of a sudden, the one that everybody's paying attention to stops and says, "Who touched me?" And starts looking around. This woman was scared. You know why she was scared? Like what we talked about, for 12 years, she has been ceremonially unclean. Just touching Jesus in their culture would have made him unclean. Except for this. As she touched him, instantaneously she was healed. She wasn't unclean anymore. So when she touched him, when her hand was on him, she couldn't do anything to Jesus. She'd already been healed. Why did he call her daughter? Because it was in a term that wanted to reach out there and just to calm her nerves, to ease her fears, to maybe start implanting into her mind and her emotions this deal of the family that she was just joining in with. This belonging to Jesus Christ, not in just a knowledge way, but in a relational way. This thing of all of a sudden, as I hear this and I hear daughter, then all of a sudden, she hears in his voice all the love that she was bringing to her. Because Jesus, as it says in John chapter 1, it says that he's full of truth and grace. Even the most honest thing that he communicates to us, he wants to do it through a voice and a heart of grace. Because he knows that most of the time we're so emotionally wrecked that we can't handle the truth in a rude form. And as Jesus just says, "Daughter," it's just like it just eases everything that's going on with her. I mean, here she was. She put up with it for 12 years. She's got to push through the crowd just to get near him. Probably wanted to just touch him one time and run away and hope that change had happened. It says as she knew that he was looking for her, she said, "Okay, here's the truth. You know, there's no level of honesty that is out of bounds between us and Jesus. As he looks at us, if we are saved, we've got the Holy Spirit inside of us, he knows everything about us. So we might as well fess up. We might as well just be honest with Jesus. As we're praying to God, it's not about sounding right. It's just about, hey, God, here's what my heart is. Here's what I'm going through. Let's just talk. We are related. We're family. And as he says, daughter, he just eased all that. Her faith had brought her healing. It brought forgiveness. It brought a relationship. Here's a mom statement for you. Moms, maybe you know something about insecurities or fears. As a Christ follower, you are a daughter of the King. That must be more your identity than being a mom. Does that make sense? That's good for all of us. Because so many times when we're in different environments as Christians, we're different people, right? You go back home, all of a sudden you become somebody's son or daughter again. You go home to your house, maybe you become a parent. You go to work, you become the whoever or the whatever you're there to do. You're the owner, you're the employee, you're the manager, you're the worker, you're whatever. You see friends, you know, you're who they think you are. Maybe that's from the past, or maybe that's a change that you've made in your life recently. You know, we kind of compartmentalize our lives so much, but all of a sudden we forget that the overall thing about us must be, if we are saved, if you're a man or a woman, boy or girl, it is, I am either a son or I am a daughter of the King. That's who I am. And that has to be over anything else in my life. Because moms, you'll never be a mom that will be able to be what your kids need until you really just fall in love with the idea that you're just a daughter of the King. And you invest and pour into that relationship. Same thing for dads. Same thing for people that don't have kids. If you're single, if you're a teenager, if you're retired, or if you're about to go home to eternity, that is the relationship that we've got to pour the most in to be anything else that's worth anything. Because our relationship with Jesus Christ is the most valuable thing about us. The third question is this. What if she wasn't healed? That would have been a bummer to the end of the story, wouldn't it? Kind of somewhere in your mind is like, well, if she wasn't healed, it probably wouldn't have been in the Bible, right? Well, listen to this. In 1 Peter 2:19, it says this, for it is commendable, or it finds favor, if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. That is not a verse that I want to be my life's verse. Because you know what that verse means? It means whether she had gotten healed or whether she hadn't, even suffering, realizing that there is a God that loves us so much, that there must be to trust enough that there is a purpose to what I'm going through, it says that finds favor. That's commendable. That actually will be a testimony that can be shared that will bring people to Christ just off the sound of that. Because we all suffer. We all go through things, different things. You may think that your hurt is worse than someone else's. You may think your hurt is not that important because it's just personal to you. Whatever it is, the reality is, would Jesus have still been Jesus had he not healed her? Yes. But in that moment, she was healed because he was Jesus. The reality is, though, no matter if it's suffering or healing, God is still God, and we can't get away from that principle. And when we put conditions on that and say, well, God, you're a good God when you heal. You're a good God when I feel like you're providing or blessing. But when I don't feel that, I just don't feel as called to be that close to you. Then again, we've made that relationship and that position is saved being more about us than about him. We're only saved because of what Jesus Christ did. It's his completed, perfect work on the cross is the reason why we're saved. But honestly, whether you're a mom, no matter who you are, whether you're healed, whether you endure suffering, no matter what goes on, the reality is God can work in every circumstance. You know one of the crazy ways that that God worked in this circumstance? Here's this woman who had so much faith that she actually went and reached out there and touched Jesus just on his garments. Probably didn't feel like she was worth touching any other part of him. She probably didn't want to grab his hand. She probably didn't want to hug him because of the embarrassment that she'd gone through in her life. So she just said, if I could just touch the minimum of Jesus, I believe that there can be change. If you go to Mark 6 and verse 56, it says this, and wherever he went into villages, towns, or countrysides, they placed the sick in marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Isn't that awesome? If you're a mom this morning, I can promise you, more gets done just because you're living your life and trying to follow Jesus in the lives of your kids and your home and other things that are around you than you will ever know. I promise you. You'll never realize your impact. Ever. Ever. Here this woman is. She started the phenomenon. Just touch of Jesus. They were selling t-shirts and buttons and stickers. Hashtag touch Jesus. Everybody was doing it, right? Her testimony and her life, just because change had been made in her. Because here's the thing. Why did people go touch him? Because she was sick for 12 years? Nope. Because he healed her then. You know, it's really not about, once we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, once we get saved, our testimony is only one thing. Jesus heals, Jesus forgives. It isn't about what we were before. It's not about how long we were what we were before. It is about what Jesus did in our life. Because why was she so scared? Because again, touching him, she would have made him unclean. But because of what happened in that instant, it spread like wildfire. Change happened. She didn't wake up saying, you know what, I'm going to change the way people act towards Jesus. She said, no, I'm just going to draw close to him myself. The result of that was what else happened in other people's lives. That's the same way to live in being a mom. Same way to live in being a dad. Same way to live in being a single woman, a single man, grandparent, a child, a teenager. Change will happen when people draw close to Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way when it came to things not getting healed or taken away. You know, he had this thing he called the thorn in the flesh. And in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, it says, instead God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. That's really how strong God is. Here's the last mom statement that we're going to look at. Moms, if you draw close to Jesus, then you go get a good night's sleep and trust that the miracle of that will be seen by your kids. I've seen two great moms in my life. They're both over there. My mom did it by herself. And my wife has to do it with me. Never mind. That could have been taken two different ways. We're recording this, aren't we? I shouldn't have put the book down. I went off note and it just went, yeah, we'll do that as another series sometimes. Is it hot in here? Because I'm getting really warm right now. She has to be a mom to our kids with me still being her husband. Let's say it that way, because I could have just, if you weren't paying attention, you're like, why is everybody laughing? Well, go listen. It's on the internet forever. You know, moms, you got to let the pressure go. You got to stop putting so much on your shoulders. You know, moms, as a dad, like, I feel the pressure, but I don't think we as dads feel it like moms do. I don't know what it is, but when I talk to women and I counsel and I hear just the pressure that they feel of what it's got to look like and be like. You know, if you're a mom and you just walk away going, you know what, if I just walk close to Jesus, then I can just go rest. Please take that with you when you leave today. But at the same time, as a pastor, that's the exact same piece of advice I have to go to sleep with every day. That I'm not auditioning for anybody. that I can't do but so much in 24 hours. And if I've walked close to Jesus and tried to follow him, then I can go get a good night's sleep. Because as adults, we get to the place where all of a sudden we figure out sometimes it's just hard to go to sleep at night because of all what's going on in our lives. The things that hurt us, the things that we're scared of, the things that we make a mistake in. And sometimes just realizing that we can go rest is its own gift. If the praise band will go ahead and come back up here, I'm gonna close with this. In John chapter 19, Jesus did this great thing for moms. And he used his own mom as an illustration in this. As Jesus was on the cross and his mom was there, and again, if you remember back, we talked about this a few weeks ago around Easter. And how when Jesus was on the cross, a lot of times in movies and in different things, we see Jesus, I'm going to do a prayer thing before y'all completely get going. I'm sorry. Me and Dale had to have a conversation there. We see this picture of Jesus, and he is not 6, 7, 10, 12 feet off the ground. He's probably 6 or 7 inches off the ground. So when it says that his mom was there, because a good mom, no matter what their kids are in the middle of, praise God, you don't leave us. You know what I'm saying? You don't leave your kids no matter what they're in the middle of. And as a good mom, she's right there as people were still, again, pressed around him, and she couldn't even probably see him completely. But in John chapter 19, Jesus calls out to her, and he says, woman, he said, look, he said, here's your son. But then he turned around to John, the disciple, and he says, look, there's your mother. Now, Mary wasn't John's mother, so what is he saying here? Did Jesus, was he just out of his mind in so much pain? No, it says there in John 19 that from that day on, John took Mary into his house, and he cared for her, and he took care of her. You know, if you're a mom and you're here, or if you just need to hear this, please understand this. A relationship with Jesus Christ means that there is no point where he has forgotten about you. Jesus doesn't get so busy with other people's problems or the world's hurt that you don't matter. In John chapter 19, in his moment of crucifixion, paying for the sin of the world, he says to the disciple John, you take care of this lady. And no matter what your status, your personality, your identity, no matter what that is this morning, please understand this. Jesus Christ is completely aware of what you need right now. And he is prepared and ready to do and to move in your life, to bring people and conversations and different things into your life, no matter who you are. Please, this is not just a mom thing. He is prepared to do all of that for you because he loves you and he wants to be close to you. I hope that helped. I do want to do this as we close the service. And if you'll just, I don't know, I kind of just want to ask you just to play something now. Is that okay? Can I ask that? Okay, cool. As Dale plays for just a few minutes, what I'd like to do is we close the service is for all of the girls and the women that are here, whether you're a mom, whether you're not, that doesn't matter. I would really appreciate it if you would take time right now, whether you're in sixth grade or you're moving slow, right? I would really appreciate it in a few minutes. If you will, go ahead and let's everybody stand up. We're going to have some different things going on soon. We're going to have a women's ministry meeting and breakfast coming up in a few weeks. And I really would love to see, as your pastor, I'd really love to see, and it's going to happen as we connect, and we're getting ready to have a men's breakfast this Saturday, as men connect together, as women connect together. It is great to do things as couples and with families, but sometimes we just need to get with our own people, guys with guys, women with women, and really spend time growing in the Word and supporting each other and encouraging each other. So if this is your first time here, or you come every week, if you're one of the ladies in the church, if you're a girl, if you're a woman, if you're somewhere in between, if you would you come on up to the front right now and just kind of move into this area and on the sides? I'd really appreciate it if you step out and come on up front. If you're trapped in by somebody, there's no limit of people that will just kind of keep moving. If you will, just kind of keep, yeah. If the people that are coming up front, wow, we have a lot of women here right now. If you're a single guy, I'm not going to take a poll in a second to see who's not. We're not doing a ring check anywhere here, guys. So, if you will, just kind of come up. Just like the pastor says, people were pressed in on Jesus. Just press in on somebody. Just get close if you would. Wendy, would you come up here? Sorry, I got you like stuck right there. I don't. I ain't Billy Graham. I ain't nothing close to Billy Graham. If you will, just join hands with somebody or put your arm around somebody that you're close to. This one. Take this up here. I didn't tell Wendy before this that I was going to ask her to pray. But we're going to pray. And because it is Mother's Day, we want to see God work within your lives. We want to see God connect you together as women, because you understand each other a lot better than we get you. I'm just going to be honest with you. Right, guys? Amen. All the guys are like, thanks for saying that. But we just want to pray and ask God to work in your lives. This isn't, you aren't defined by kids, 10 kids or no kids. You're not defined by, please don't be defined by what us men say, because we've got it all screwed up. Please be defined as being the daughter of the King, no matter what your age is, and be a daddy's girl. If you're a child of the King, be a daddy's girl. No matter what your relationship has ever been like with any one single man, love him, because we need you to. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you. And at first, Lord, just lay down at your feet, your Lord, and just let it sink into our hearts, into our soul, into our bones, your Lord, that we are a daughter of the King. That you paid the ultimate sacrifice to have a relationship with me personally, with us personally. Dear Lord, and I just pray that we can lay all of our hurts and our troubles and our stresses down. Dear Lord, and just let that peace and love and comfort, dear Lord, that we are your daughters. Dear Lord, and you do hold tomorrow. And that you hold us. And that you can just let us rise and live in that peace and that comfort, and that we can live as daughters of a King, as representatives of you in this world, that as we go about our days and our jobs of being moms and go out during the day with our jobs, dear Lord, that we can be your representative and shine your light, dear Lord, because you have given us that strength. Dear Lord, please give us the strength to not to try to just do harder and to work harder and to be better, dear Lord, but to have better faith, to rest in you, dear Lord, and to rest in your word, and to know that your truths are our promises, and to hold on to those promises when things get dark. And dear Lord, we just thank you that you pour out that love in the light and in the dark, and that you can give us the strength to be the most wonderful moms that we can, and when it gets hard, just to know that it's not in our strength, but it's in yours. Dear Lord, we just come back to that, to kneeling at your feet, dear Lord, and just embrace us and fill us with your love, and help us to leave this place just feeling in your embrace. And it's in Jesus' name, with precious name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.